In the precious name of Jesus, who is the newborn King, in the name of Jesus, amen. I would invite you, if you'd like to turn to our text for this evening, a reading from 2 Samuel. I don't know how often you're reading in 2 Samuel, but find it, if you will, in the Old Testament. We'll want to look at the first part of 2 Samuel 7 in just a moment before we look at our text. May God bless my speaking and your hearing. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. I know that it's true of some of you. I'm not sure of how many of you it's true, but some of you have gone through the labor, maybe the sweat and the tears, of building your own home. How many of you have done that? Have you? Okay, oh, actually more of you than I thought there might be. From what I understand, I've never done that before, but from what I understand, it can be a labor of love, but it also can be quite a labor in itself. I can't imagine the number of decisions that need to be made. What kind of tile? What sort of carpeting and color? How about the walls and what color should they be? Where should the light sockets be? What kind of switches do we want and where will they be located? And on and on and on, a million decisions to be made. Somebody once told me, "Pastor, if you're a married couple making the decisions to build a house, you better have a strong relationship or a relationship could end," because the question might come up, "So whose house is it anyway? Is it the way she wants, the way he wants, the way they want? Who is it that builds the house?" Keep that question in mind for a little bit later as well. From our text for this evening, we read from 2 Samuel chapter 7. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, we see King David. What you might not know, unless you've got your Bibles open, is looking back at the first part of 2 Samuel, we see that much had taken place in the life of David and in the life of the people of Israel, the kingdom of Israel. What we find out as we look back at the first part of 2 Samuel is that King Saul has died, and now King David has become the king. King David walks in, makes his way to Jerusalem, but the city of Jerusalem is occupied by the Jebusites. So King David and his army fight the Jebusites and defeat them to take over the kingdom of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. And it becomes David's capital city, the capital city of Israel. As God does, God favors David, favors him especially with peace. David had fought many in the past, had won those battles by God's grace, by God leading and guiding and directing, God's good and gracious will. And now, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, King David's sitting in his regal palace, a palace built with cedar wood that had to have been imported, and many costly accoutrements. It was a beautiful place. I don't know if any of his queens helped him build the palace or decided where the light switches went, but the deed was done, and this beautiful palace is where David sat. David, to his credit, didn't want to just sit and enjoy the blessings God gave. David wanted to look to the future. David wanted to make plans. David wasn't content with just the status quo. And so David said, "I know what I'll do. I'll build a house for the Lord. How can it be that I have this beautiful palace in which to live and God's ark, the Ark of the Covenant, rests only in a tent?" What he was referring to was the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle that had gone with them through the wilderness for 40 years with Moses and those who were with him. Remember, if you will, from Exodus chapter 25, put that in mind in case you'd like to go back and read about the tabernacle, God gave instructions to Moses what to build, how to build it, all the measurements, all the materials they should use. And this is the important part. In God allowing himself to dwell with his people, God allowed these things of God, the visual representation of God among his people, to travel as the people traveled. When they traveled, as they wandered, as they went, it was actually God who was guiding, God who was directing, God who was leading them. And rather than a house of stone or of cedar, like David said, that would be a place just here, and the people would have to go without God, God intended to tabernacle, to dwell among them, so that they would be around him and he would be in their midst. And that's literally the way it was. The tent of meeting, the tabernacle, was in the middle, and all the people as they gathered and all the tents as they were pitched around the tabernacle in the center. So now David's sitting in Jerusalem all these years later, and the Ark of the Covenant he has brought to Jerusalem, and the Ark of the Covenant is still in a tent. David says to Nathan, "I don't know how this can be. It can't be. It shouldn't be. I know what I'll do. I've decided that I will build a house, a beautiful temple for God." Nathan, the prophet of God, said, "Well, look, David, God's blessing you. He has blessed you in all these ways, so go ahead. I'm sure God will bless that too." But that very night, Nathan then has a vision from God. God says to Nathan, "No, go to King David and tell him I don't want you to build a tent for me or a temple for me. I've been with you and the people all these years. Have I ever asked in all the wanderings of the people of Israel for someone to stop and build me a solid building, a temple? No, I have a better idea," God says. God says to David, though that's a beautiful idea and a wonderful godly thing to do, God says, "I will plant, not you, David, not your decision, not your will, but I, the Lord God, I will plant." Well, what will he plant? God promises to plant the house of David. You could substitute for the word house, kingdom, or even the word throne. God says to David through Nathan, "I will plant your house. I will plant your throne. I will plant your kingdom. And as I do so, it will be an everlasting kingdom, one that stretches from now throughout all eternity." God's promise was to David, but God's promise was also to the house of Israel, to the people of Israel, to the kingdom of Israel. And God promised that he would give them a place, that he would plant them. And what he says in our text is, "I will protect you from your enemies around you, and I will give you peace and rest." God loved David. God loved the house of Israel, the people of Israel, and he promised to plant them and to care for them. But ultimately, as God speaks, he was planting his own kingdom. God was planting his own house, his own throne, his own kingdom that would last forever and ever and ever. David had a plan, but God said, "I have a better plan. Listen to me, David, and follow me, and I will establish your house and the country, and I will establish my kingdom." Interestingly, how the texts were chosen for this evening is that God gives the answer to how that kingdom, that everlasting kingdom, will come. And it actually comes from the gospel reading that Pastor read for us just a moment ago in verses 32 and 33. From Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, God speaking about the Savior he would send. "And this Savior will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Luke was talking, and David eventually found out that God was going to send that Savior, the Savior we know to be Jesus, whose birthday we celebrate tomorrow and on Monday. We're concentrating, as Pastor mentioned today, on Advent, not getting ready too quickly, but knowing that it anticipation, knowing that the Savior is coming, that we celebrate his birth once among us again. And we do so because it was God's divine design, God's divine plan from before the beginning of the world. Certainly a plan that he explained at least somewhat to Adam and Eve, that he would send a Savior. A plan that is revealed again a little bit more in David's time in 2 Samuel. I will establish my household, my kingdom, and it will never end. And in Luke, we find the way he establishes that kingdom is in Jesus. In Jesus, who comes to love and forgive, to teach and encourage, to die in our place, to give us life with him forevermore. You know, we often have plans. There are blueprints for our lives that we like to think we've got things in order. I know what I want to be when I grow up. I know, I hope, what I want to do on vacation. What will I do for supper tonight? Sometimes we don't know where we are with those things. Actually, we often think that we do know. But God, like he did with David, says to us, I have a different, I have a better plan. In the gospel reading, Mary thought she knew where she was going and what she was doing. Joseph thought that he had a plan, and God rearranged those plans. And it's the case, too, for you and me. You and I often think that we know, that we have decided, we have devised, we have planned, and some of those plans can be good and godly plans. But we need to listen. We need to wait on God. We need to ask him if those are our plans, we're asking him to bless, or if they're his plans, we're asking him to help us follow. God's desire for you and for me, brothers and sisters, is to bless our families, our households. Maybe not our kingdom, but at least our families and our homes. Lord, bless our families and help us be good and godly families. As we plan where to live and how to build and what homes we're in and so many other things about our careers and families, we want to listen. We want to ask God, God, is this your will? God, plant my family, plant my home in a way that honors and serves you. We think of it too in the kingdom of this place. As we think about building this temple, this house of the Lord, Lord, where is it that you will have us go? During this whole year of 2017, we've prayed many times, Lord, give us a vision, your vision for the future. Give us strength and courage to follow that vision. Lord, where would you have us go? And many times we've been talking about starting an additional worship service, looking for another location for worship, perhaps planting a mission, perhaps calling a third pastor to help among us to do these things. Lord, what is your plan? Lord, plant your kingdom among us, that your good and gracious will be done. So, whose house is it anyway? Is it your house and your desire and your will, or is it God's? God calls upon us to listen, and the psalmist reminds us that unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. May God bless you and me like he blessed David with peace and rest. May he work among us like he did with David, not to just be content, but always to be looking to the future and listening to God's direction for our own families, our own households, and the household of God in this place. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who builds his kingdom among us. Amen.